believe it, you're not winning.
Blog Talk Radio.
And if you're never going to come, you know right here that there's something about today.
Something about the name.
Something about the name.
Something about the name.
It's the sweetest name.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Keeping It Real with Jay Sean podcast. I thought that song would be fitting for tonight's episode. I see the callers coming in. We're going to give a couple of more minutes to let everybody come in. I see my special guests. I'll be right with you in a minute. I want everybody to sit back and relax. I'm your host, Randy J. Sean Jackson. We have a very, very good show for you tonight. Different, but important. And I'm sure it's going to reach a lot of people and touch a lot of people tonight. I'm kind of nervous. Well, I've been doing this for 2 years, over 200 episodes, and I got the chills about this episode. And maybe it's because it's a long time coming, because everybody know we done did podcasts on everything, some of the craziest things, some of the wildest things, some of the serious things. But tonight, I don't know if we had a cast more serious and enlightening and impactful, if that's the right word, in many words. First, let me get this out the way. Tonight's episode is sponsored by the Smoking Crab Seafood Restaurant, 301 Main Street, Paterson, New Jersey, Level U. They got some of the best seafood around. If you haven't been to the Center City Mall and had the seafood at the Smoking Crabs Seafood Restaurant, you have to get there. Smoking Crab Seafood Restaurant, 301 Main Street, Paterson, New Jersey, Level U. Okay. I see the phone lines is okay. That's what I like. The phone lines is how the young people say they lit tonight. So I see my guests up here. I'll be right with you. Let's give it a couple of more minutes and let a couple of more people call in, because I don't want nobody to miss any of this. And if you're at home right now, you know what I mean? Call somebody. Let them know what's about to happen. Don't hide the podcast. Divide it. Call somebody on the three-way. Send them the link. The link is on my page and Pastor Frederick Lagarde Jr.'s page. If they can't call in, they can listen on the link, because some people have trouble calling in. Now, if you call in, and if you want to go live, you have to press 1, because that's the only way that I'll know you're here, if you press 1. So we're going to let the pastor stay with us as long as he want to, because I know his time is very valuable. And I really appreciate it, and I feel honored. And I tell him that. So we're going to give it a couple of more minutes, and then we're going to be right back with my exclusive guests.
Me and my wife were up to midnight with our three-year-old. Had to take him to the emergency room because he had walking pneumonia. And see, you know, you take health for granted until it's your health. Just like we take food for granted until we run out of food. Just like we take our spouses for granted until we're walking by the casket and all we can do is wish that we could do things different. Just like children take their parents for granted. But I want to let you know, even when we take God for granted, what's so amazing about God is Paul says he does not treat us as our sins deserve. So that means that even in my imperfections, God is still perfect with his grace and his mercy. That's why I don't want people getting comfortable with praising the Lord just when the Lord gives them something. See, you got to learn how to praise him because of who he is. When you praise him for who he is, you don't have to wait till the trouble comes to learn how to praise him. I want every blood-washed believer that has fallen in love with Jesus. I'm not talking about you had an affair with Jesus, but I'm talking about you love him, not because of what he's done, but because of who he is. Everybody, we're going to sing this chorus together. And even if you can't sing, even if you don't know the words, you can give God an oath. And that oath can mean to you whatever that oath needs to mean to you. Can we sing it right there? Can we sing that chorus right there? Everybody,
Welcome back. Let me bring my guests in for the evening. Oh, that song gave me the chills. Pastor Frederick Harold Lagar, are you with me?
I'm here. Can you hear me, sir?
Yes, I can hear you. How was my selection of gospel music?
That was an excellent selection, my brother. Excellent selection.
Thank you.
Excellent.
I think
my brother, I may be a little more nervous than you are tonight.
I don't know much about gospel music, but I went through a lot of songs to get to that one, and I said this one is it right here.
Listen, that's it right there. That's it. Something about the name. That's it, and it's in the name. You on point, my brother, tonight.
All right, okay. Oh man, I want to let you know first that the phone lines are going crazy. But everybody who out there, I see people. You pressing one already, but just bear with us.
Yes.
We got a lot. We gonna, as long as the pastor want to stay with us, we'll be here. What should I call you?
Some people call me, the young folk call me by Pastor Ricky. Some people call me Pastor Lagarde. It doesn't matter, my brother. Listen, I'm really not locked up or caught up in titles. So whatever you feel comfortable with, my brother, you roll with that on tonight. Okay.
Okay. I'll call you, Pastor Lagarde.
There you go.
Is that okay.
That's
all right.
Right,
okay.
Brother.
I'm perspiring. I don't know what this is. I'm honored. No, but look, because you know, like, well, I got a lot to talk about, but I just want to say a couple of things first, and then we'll jump right into the interview.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I grew up on 17th Ave and 31st Street in Paterson, New Jersey, not far from you.
Right.
My best friend lived right across the street from you, the Hills, Andre,
yeah.
Hill, Sean Day. That's my friend since we've been 50 years of friendship, since we've been 9 years old. My father was a member of your father's church, maybe, my sister on the line, maybe she know, maybe 30, 40 years, maybe
wow.
50.
Yeah.
I got a picture of my father when Martin Luther King came to your father's church, and I got a picture of my father behind the barricade.
Mm,
and, your father married me and my first wife, and he married my brother and his wife.
Wow.
They still together, but mine didn't work. And also, let me go take you a little bit further back. I told my sister about this. She didn't even know. In school 20, I remember your sister. You got twin sisters, right?
Yeah, my twin sisters, yeah.
Okay, I don't know if you remember this, but I was on we was having a play, and I was on a stage. It was like, I can't remember we was all on the stage. We were singing in a Christmas play or some holiday play, and we had candles in our hand, and we had the candles lit. And didn't one of your sisters here catch on fire from the candle or something?
I remember my twin sister telling me about that. I absolutely do. Yep.
I was there when that, because they used to have a lot of here, like Chaka Khan, like all out. And I guess the candle caught fire to one of their hair, and it was chaos there. But that's just a little bit of, you know, and I know that. So that's 20. You grew up on 29th. I grew up on 31st. But it's just probably a big age difference. Yeah,
it's
so
29th. I grew up all my life on 29th and 17th. Yep,
right.
29th and 17th.
And I grew up on 29th and 31st, and I used to hang on 17th and 27th for out there. You know about that down there.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
I gave 15 years of my life down the street from 15 years old, I think, to 30. But anyway, that was just a little warm-up for that.
Yeah.
A couple of Sundays ago, I was surfing through Facebook, and I was feeling kind of down, and I came across your live, and you was giving a sermon, and I didn't know anything about you at that time, but I just decided to listen, and I don't know, it made me feel better, and that's when I said, well, something told me, well, reach out to him, see if he wanted to come on the podcast. So that's when I inboxed you about the podcast. Did you want to come? I told you my father knew your father, and you asked me what kind of podcast was it. And
right.
Thank God that my last couple of podcasts been my podcast got baptized 3 weeks ago. I keep telling everybody that. Before that, we was all over the place. And then you came on and you asked me what kind of podcast I had, and I sent you a couple of files, and you told me you would do it.
Yes.
And I was honored that you said that, because I never had a podcast like this before. Like, you know, this kind of podcast. I didn't know.
Right.
Like, I always tell people this is the first time me and Pastor on the phone. This is not scripted or planned. This is at real time or authentic. I don't know how it's gonna go or whatever or nothing. I like to let I don't like to interview people before I do a podcast. And it was funny because I asked you, is there any questions you wanted me to ask you, and you didn't say anything. So I said, oh, we just go with the flow.
Exactly. Well, let me say
all
this
right.
Before we go any further, my brother. Let me say,
go
number
ahead,
one,
go ahead.
Good evening, and God bless everybody that's listening on tonight. And I want to say to you, Brother Randy, I appreciate you on tonight, and just asking me to come on. I'm nervous, but I'm excited to speak to the people tonight. I want whatever we do tonight to just be a time of, you know, truth and being able to speak on issues openly and freely. You know, I firmly believe, you know, that the church, the church cannot be so religious that we can't touch the issues that touch the people in the communities and the environments that we live in. I am Patterson born, Patterson bred, Patterson raised. I still live in this city. I have no intention of leaving this city. And I'm just excited to speak to everybody tonight. And I believe that when we conclude on tonight, we're going to conclude all of us better in, you know, some way, shape, and form. I'm thankful for what you're doing and for the platform that you have. And so, listen, we're here tonight, and we're ready to go.
Thank you. That's kind of like, that's the way I feel too. I feel like when this podcast is over, a lot of people will have a more understanding not only you, but me,
right,
church, and everything
right
else that go along with it.
Right. Right.
So, like, absolutely, once again, I said, if you're on the phone line, you have to press one. I see some people press one already, but just give us some time because we just starting. Okay.
Right.
But first off, Pastor, I want to say,
yes. Yes.
But for the people who don't know, and so many people was telling me, don't say this and don't say that and don't say this and don't say that. And they was getting
right
me dizzy. But but look, tell the listeners who is Pastor Frederick Lagarde Jr.
Okay. All right. Well, Pastor Frederick Lagarde Jr., first of all, before he was ever a pastor, before he ever held a title of ordained minister or reverend, Pastor Lagarde was an individual and a person just like everyone else. I was born in the city of Patterson, October the 11th, 1973, which means I'm in my 49th year of life. Barnard Hospital, no longer there. I grew up in the city. My grandfather established the ministry here in the city, and then my father succeeded him. I succeeded my father. My mother was an educator here in the city. She taught in the Patterson school system for just about 40 years. I still see many people today who will say to me, you are Miss Lagarde's son. I had her at school 12. She was my seventh grade teacher. Some had her at school number 6, and she retired out of school 26. But I've been in Patterson all of my life, serving, you know, in various capacities here in the city, primarily through the church. And many would also know that I'm in the funeral industry as well, and I just consider that a branch or an arm of the ministry that God has given me. I'm not perfect, and I believe, hopefully we'll tap on some things tonight and get people to understand that the church really is a place for imperfect people who are striving to be perfected as much as they possibly can. And so I have two children, 23, and my daughter soon to be 21. I was married. I am now divorced, but I still believe in marriage. So that's just a little bit about me. I love people. I'm real. I'm down to earth. I feel and know for a fact that people who really know me know that they can talk to me. They can be open with me. I'm not one of those pastors that wear collars and, you know, I don't roll with the cliques or the clubs. I like to deal with the common people because Christ dealt with the common people. And so that's just a little bit about me, my brother, and hopefully
right
we'll learn some more about each other tonight.
Definitely, definitely. This is a question that a lot of people was telling me, sending me different things and telling me different. When you hear that noise, that's people texting me like they like you got the phone lines going crazy.
Wow.
How was it growing up with a father as a pastor?
Okay, that's a good question. That's a good question. And I will tell you, there's a term that preacher's children will know, which is PK, preacher's kid. And, you know, being a preacher's kid, it really takes another preacher's kid to kind of understand what it is growing up in the house of a preacher or a pastor. It was a good and it was bad, because when you have a father, and I'm going to say or a mother, because we have, you know, lady pastors as well. that you know, when you're growing up in the house of a pastor, a lot of times you give your father or your mother up to the church because their life is devoted to the church. We had an excellent father. We had a good father who cared about people. He was a lover of people. But one of the things that we missed a lot is the presence of our dad at certain things and events and milestones in our lives, because our father was always busy serving the community. Many who know about my dad also know, you know, he was a civil rights activist, and you know, the visits of Rosa Parks, you know, he brought Rosa Parks to Patterson before, way before that, Dr. King. And so my father was always serving others. And so we had to understand at an early age that we would not always have him around, because his life was a life of service to others. So there were vacations subsequently that we would go on without our father. There were events and things in our lives that our father had to miss because he was often busy serving someone else at the hospital, visiting the sick, sometimes at the jail visiting somebody, here and there, and we had to understand that. And then on top of that, you know, there's always, you are pastor's child, so your structure that you grow up in the home is a little more rigid. There were things that we couldn't listen to, things we couldn't do, places that we couldn't go. We had a very strict father, but, you know, I tell you, some of that structure, it was good. It was good. It was good, and I'm glad that I had it. But it was not always easy, you know. Sometimes we were laughed at because we were the preacher's kids. And sometimes when that happens, preacher's children will tend to rebel or feel a need to have to prove something, you know, to kind of get rid or to dispel that myth or rumor, you know, that we're so different and we're so good and we're so all of that. But for the most part and overall, it was a blessing to grow up in the household that I grew up in, with the father and the mother that I had. But I will tell you, it was not easy.
Right. That was one of the things I wondered, like, about how would it be in a household? Because, you know, I grew up a Jehovah's Witness.
That's a whole nother podcast.
Different. But look, growing up like that, but when did you get the calling that you wanted to be a pastor?
Okay.
And what made you want to be a pastor? Did you think you was following in your father's footsteps, or was it a calling from God, you think? Or was it you wanted to change the world or help the world? When did it hit you? At what age and how?
Yeah, well, definitely it was not following in my grandfather or my father's footsteps. It definitely, my brother, was not that. Because all of my life since the age of 8 years old, I always knew that I wanted to be a funeral director, and I wanted to be in the funeral profession. I used to go around as a small child, you know, with my father when he would perform funerals and things, and I was always intrigued by the funeral industry. And so that's, if you asked me at a very early age what I wanted to do, I wanted to be an undertaker. People would say to me as I was growing up, you're going to be a pastor just like your father, just like your grandfather. And I would say, absolutely not. I want to be an undertaker. I did not want anything to do with ministry. And the reason why was because I watched what my father had to endure in ministry. And just the dedication that it took. And so I absolutely had no plans to emulate my father in any way. In fact, I tried to run from the calling. I tell you, I had people all through my life telling me there's a call on your life. There's a call on your life. There's a call on your life. They didn't care whether I said, oh, no, I'm not going to do that. My mother prayed that I would never be called into ministry because of just what she saw her husband, our dad, go through. Many sleepless nights as a pastor. Like I said, it's a sacrificing of your life. You're dealing with the church, which is made up of people. When you're dealing with people, you're dealing with many personalities, many different situations that are brought in by the people, and it's just not easy. So, you know, I ran from the calling for quite some time. It was at the age of 17 that, and I always prayed. I always had a prayer life. I was always involved in church. I love church. I love, you know, going to church and being involved in youth ministry and what have you. But at the age of 17, I remember it. I was praying as I did every night. And the Lord, just not in an audible voice, but, you know, God speaks to us not always audibly. I don't think most of us have not heard him in an audible voice, but we have feelings. We can feel when God is speaking to us, or God may use someone else to confirm something that he's trying to say to us. And God just spoke to me, and I just felt his presence in the room. And he let me know that the call, I couldn't run from it anymore. And I remember that was on a Friday night I was praying. And then I remember Sunday morning before going into church service, telling my father that I'm finally ready to acknowledge the call. When I said that to my father, it wasn't just, oh, all of a sudden, I was a minister. My father then made me literally write down my experience and what I experienced that Friday evening in my prayer time with God. And my father made me write the experience. And then he read it, and then he prayed. And then my father came back to me, and he acknowledged and said, I receive what you heard from God. And then became a time of preparation, of just, you know, my father preparing me for licensing into the ministry. Many people, you know, had the misconception, oh, that's Pastor Lagarde's son. He's just going to give him a license. My father made me work for my license. From the time I acknowledged the calling to the time I actually received license into the ministry, it was a 3-year process, because my father was one that believed that if you were called in ministry and you were called to leadership, you first had to learn how to be a servant. If you're going to lead, you have to first learn how to follow. So my father, he put me through a lot of things. Go sweep the church. Go vacuum the sanctuary. Go clean out the bathroom in the church. Things like that. Because he was like, if you're going to lead, you got to learn how to follow. And you got to understand that ministry, this is not a glorious thing. You see, the problem with ministry today is people look at a lot of pastors, and they see what pastors are driving, how pastors are living, and they get a misconception that the ministry is about a luxurious lifestyle, and that is exactly what it is not about. If you are truly in ministry, okay, that's not what it's about. It really is about servitude. It's really about giving back to people. It's really about enriching and enhancing the lives of people spiritually. And while we may drive nice things, all right, and things like that, that's not what ministry is about. And that's just one of the concerns I have about ministry today, is that we have many that are going into ministry because they think that there's prosperity or riches there, and that's not what it is at all. So, again, like I said, and let me just jump back because I don't want to jump too far ahead. That's how the calling came, and I was prepared for 3 years before I was ever licensed into the ministry. But again, to answer your question, I did not want to carry on a legacy. I did not want to be, oh, the next pastor because my father was the pastor. I intended my journey to go another way, but God intended it to go his way. And so, you know, Bible often talks about his ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts. But if you, you know, I'm a firm believer that, you know, the safest and soundest place to be is in the will of God and what that will is for your life.
Wow, that's you know, you answered a lot of questions because, you know, me personally, I was one of the people that thought that, you know, it was being a pastor was about, like, the nice cars and diamond rings and, you know, and things like that. But
right.
So look, but one thing, well, it, man, there's so much I want to talk about. When I came on your Facebook Live Sunday, we're going to let everybody know when you do your lives and everything. I came on your live and you said, you told everybody, I'm going to be on a podcast. I want everybody to tune in. I want to, I believe you said, set the record straight on church or church people. Did you say something like that?
I said something to that effect. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. But I don't want to touch on it yet. Hold up. I just wanted to see if that's what you said. Okay.
Right.
We're going to get to that. But look, this is what I want to do. Is it all right with you? I got to go to these phone lines because it's a lot of people must want to talk to you. So
let's take
a caller, and then we'll come back to the interview. Okay? Is that okay with you?
That's all right, my brother.
Okay, all right. 9102, you live.
Oh, hello. This I'm just Reverend Lagarde's son. This is the third, just calling to say hello to my dad and let him know that I'm here supporting him.
Oh, okay.
That's all
how
I
you
did.
Doing?
I'm great. I'm really good.
Yeah, now brother Randy, that's my son. He you know, that's the third right there. And again, like I was sharing with you and sharing with the callers, you know, I never intended my life to go in the way of pastoring or ministry. And my son also has a ministry call on his life. And I tell you, you got to watch his Instagram and his Facebook Live. This young man right here actually has more attributes and traits of my father than I do. And he's doing something completely different from what I'm doing. He's a graduate of Rider University, and he was very instrumental on his college campus with establishing the first campus ministry that his college that he graduated from ever had. So, yeah, he's calling, and I appreciate you, son. Appreciate you, sir.
Oh, we're gonna get all your information later too. What's your? Oh, you got the same name as your father.
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right.
Same name, everything.
Okay.
Same
so look, we gonna stay with us, and we're gonna let everybody know how they could follow you on Instagram and listen to everything, and you know, because, you know, you're the younger generation. You know what I mean? And these young people need a lot of help out here. Definitely.
Amen.
All right. So just stay with us then. Thanks for calling.
I'll be on the whole time.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Let's get another caller.
All right. 5392, you live.
One second. Hello, this is Dr. James. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Can you hear me,
James?
Yeah, I'm just calling in. It's just nice to hear your voice, Pastor, and I'm glad to see you doing great things. You're fairly young. You're only 49, and it seems like you're doing a whole lot for me. I'm serious. I'm 62. And
God bless you, my brother.
Seems like you and your son is doing good. and that's good. I don't know, did you know any teachers in Patterson School District? A long time ago, my sister used to be a teacher at the East Side High School. You know that school? Did your mother work there?
My middle sister's a graduate of East Side High School. They're from the class of 1980. Yes, sir.
She might have known her. My sister used to be named Miss James. She taught math.
Miss James.
Yeah.
When they made that movie
Lean on Me.
Lean on Me.
You know,
Lean
Joe
on
Puck.
Me.
Yeah, they mentioned her name on there.
Yeah. I'm sorry, my brother. I'm cutting over you. I'm sorry, my brother.
Now, go ahead.
No, I'm very familiar. You know, Joe Clark, coincidentally, you know, during the time of Joe Clark's tenure at Eastside High School, Joe Clark actually was a member of our church under my father. He was a very faithful member during that Lean on Me time. He was faithful member of our church. My sisters are 1980 graduates of Eastside High School, which is, they were there before Joe Clark came in, when Eastside was really, you know, in a mess. But
they might know my sister.
Right.
She was there before
right.
Joe Clark too.
Yes. Where are you from? Are you from Patterson, my brother?
No, I'm from New York, but I live in New Jersey now. But
okay.
I said, my sister was working over there for a long time. So anyway, I'll just listen to your show, listen to you speak, nothing special. All right, that's all I wanted to say.
Well, I appreciate you, my brother, okay? You keep praying for us, okay? And we're praying
all
for
right.
you likewise.
Thank you.
Hey, Dr. Kelly, I'm 1981.
Dr. James.
I'm sorry. I'm
I know you got
to
know
81.
Dr. Kelly.
I'm 81.
You graduated
from
Eastside, 81?
Yeah.
Did you know my sister, Miss James?
I mean, that was a long time ago, but I'm
she taught
to,
math.
I'll probably figure it out. I never liked math. I probably never liked
math. All right.
All right.
God
stay
bless
with
you,
us, Dr. Bro. James.
Yeah.
All right. You got a lot of people out here, Pastor.
Wow.
Hold on one second. 6246, you live. 246. Hello?
Jay.
Yeah, I'm here.
Jay. Yeah, I got
I'm
on
here.
Late. You got the pastor on. And I got to listen a little more. I want you to bring me back because I was discussing something with somebody. I'm giving a new show. But shout out to the pastor. This is Forrest. I just want to say to the pastor, I owe my start to my podcast to the brother who is the host of Keeping It Real, my man Jay. I've been knowing the brother for 30 years. So I know if he brought you in, brother, it's going to be very impactful from the beginning to the end. So I'm going to – hey, Jay, just bring me back on a little later on so I can hear the brother talk a little more.
All right.
Okay.
I appreciate you, sir.
2226, you live.
Hey, Pastor, this is Shonda from the front of our home. Just wants you to know I'm supporting you.
Hey, that's Miss Shonda. She works at the funeral home with me. I appreciate you.
Okay. You want to tell anything you could tell us about the pastor?
Great man. Very
great man.
Does a lot for the community.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's it?
Did we lose her?
No, she's still here, I think. You still on?
Shonda.
Oh, we might have lost her.
Yeah, let's take another call.
All right. All right, look, let's get back mm-hmm. into the interview.
Okay.
All right, so let's people want me to call them that can't call, like they bombarded me. Everybody just be patient. Be patient. All right. So look, back to what when I came on your live and you said you wanted to say a couple of things about. I'm not sure if you said church people or churches, but what was you speaking about when you said that day? I guess things you had on your mind that you wanted to tell people.
So I think I know what you were referring to, but I want the listeners to understand that there's a great difference between people who are, let me put it this way. There's a difference between church people and God's people. We really have to understand that, you know, the church as we know it and the stereotype of the church is the stereotype of the view of the church as we know it. It is a view of, church hats and church suits and cliques and I tell you, many people are turned off from the church because of the hurt that they've experienced. And church hurt is some of the worst hurt that you can experience. The church has never been set up to be a social club. It's never been set up to be a clique. It's never been set up to be a fashion show or a place of entertainment. The church is really like a hospital. People who are sick go to the hospital to receive treatment that they might be made well. And that's really what the church is supposed to be. We are a place where people who are sick in various areas of sin are to be able to come, and we should be made well through the word and through the love that Christ compels us to give to others. So what I was trying to say and what I've always preached is that we have to be more kingdom-minded. We have to understand what God preached and what the kingdom of God is all about. And that is to reach people, to save them, to love them to life, and to impart the word of God into them that they may grow and that they may be able to go forward and achieve through the word of God what God has promised for our lives. Because each of us have been created with a purpose. And we find that purpose when we are able to connect with God. And so, you know, what I'm trying to say is that we've got to break the stereotype of what church is, all right? People don't want to go to church today because they feel like when they come in, they're going to be judged. They're going to be looked at. There are you have a host of people that want a relationship with God, want to love God, want a better life. They want a connection with a higher power. But when they come in the doors of the church building, and I want to say the church building because the church is not the building. The church is the people. The building is the place of worship where we as the people come to worship. But too often now, when people enter into the building and they encounter the people who are supposed to be the people of God, which if we call ourselves the people of God, that means that we are to love everyone unconditionally, regardless of whatever type of sin they're in, regardless of what they're dealing with in their lives. If they're coming off the street with liquor in their hand or drugs in their pocket, if they're coming off the street from just turning a trick on Van Houten Avenue, we are not to look at them in a strange way, but we are to love them because the Bible talks about it's with love that we draw. And unfortunately, today, when you enter into the building and you encounter the stereotypical church person or what we know as church folk, we're judgmental. We stare at everything. We look at people who aren't dressed the way we think that they should be dressed. And that stare, that look, and that judgment is what drives them right back out of the door. And then when you try to invite them back in the door, they have formed an opinion of not wanting to come into the building because church folk that don't understand what the kingdom is really about can be some of the nastiest, most mean, hateful people that you ever want to deal with. So what I've preached and the way I've established my ministry is I've established a ministry that while folk want the saints, I want the sinners. I want the people that nobody else wants to deal with. I want the people who don't wear church suits. I want the people who come in with hoodies and sneakers and Yeezys on. I want those people because those are the people, if you study the word of God, those are the people that Christ dealt with. He dealt with the woman at the well who had many men. Okay, and in modern day terminology, we would call her a hoe. Okay, he dealt with people that nobody else wanted to deal with. But today, the church only wants to deal with you if you have all of your stuff together. I thought the church was a place that you came to get it together. I didn't think you had to come there with it all together. And so that's what I'm preaching. That's the message that I'm presenting, and I'm aware and I'm cognizant of the fact that that's not going to put me in the good old boys club with some of the other pastors in our city. That's not going to get me in that club. But I'm not looking for the validation of others. I'm looking for the validation of God in what I do in ministry.
Man, you hit the nail right on the head with that one because I often wondered that.
Mm-hmm.
How would it, like, how do you accept the sinners?
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, the people that, you know, you said you want to help. You want the people that might be the people on the street, like with the
right.
hoodies on,
right.
the girls right off Van Houten. The people
right.
with drugs.
Can I say something, my brother? Can I say something to you?
Go ahead. Yes.
You see, listen, let me just go a little further. And I don't want this to be a preachy thing where I'm Bible beating, okay? But I have to use the Bible for some of the things I'm going to say. If those of us, I do. Okay, well, then, listen. Those of us who understand Christ and Christ ministry, okay, we know that Christ rocked and rolled with a band of men called the disciples, okay, the 12. And even if you study and you look at the lives of the 12 disciples and you begin to learn about them, you're going to find out that these disciples, some of them were fishermen. Many of them have had cursing spirits. They were rough, angry men that Jesus chose to be his inner circle and really to be his posse. Some of them would have been labeled as outcasts, all right? But Christ brought them in as his inner circle, and he began to show them a better way. We've got to understand and see what people have to understand, particularly those in the church who like to pass judgment on others. You were not born saved. You were not born in the spiritual place that you may currently be. The Bible that I read says that all, okay, all right? And when we use that word all, that means no one is left out. All have sinned, including this preacher that's talking now. And we've fallen short of the glory of God. Then if we look further in Scripture, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever is all inclusive. It's all inclusive. That means it includes everybody. It includes the sinners, the persecutors of Jesus at the cross, as well as his disciples. It includes the president to the hooker in the back alley and everything in between, that whosoever believes, that's the only key, that whosoever believes in him and calls on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. See, the redeeming power of Christ is not to a select few. It's to all who are willing to call on the name of the Lord and to be saved. And that's what we've got to begin to preach. You know, we preach that we love everybody. We talk about that we love everybody. But the things, our words have to be transferred into deeds that represent needs. Okay? We have to transfer what we say into action. So if I'm saying I love everybody, I have to put some action behind that. So that means that the church is all-inclusive, okay? It's all-inclusive. It's all-inclusive. That means the prostitute, the whoremonger, the gay, lesbian, straight, killer, murderer, crackhead, pimp, everybody can come in to the house of the Lord. And guess what? The redeeming power of God is available to everybody. He's no selector of person. He is not that at all. Okay? When he did the work of the cross and he went to that cross, that blood was shed even for those who sent him to that cross. Even for those who put the crown of thorns on his head. Listen, it was for them too. And that's the message that the church has to preach. That's the message right there, my brother. That's the message. And when we as pastors are stop aligning ourselves with platforms just to line our pockets and just for what we can get out of what we endorse and begin to really speak what we feel, all right, and speak freely, let me tell you something. The churches will grow. They will grow. When the church taps what the needs of the people of the community are, the church will grow and the church will prosper.
Wow. That's deep. You touched on a lot of things right there. That's sincerity, because like I said earlier, a lot of people like me, I'm a person, I always thought that more like the preachers was, you know, they just wanted to line their pockets with money, mm-hmm. drive mm-hmm. nice cars. And, you know, right. I don't feel bad saying that because a lot of people think like that. They go to different churches, and as soon as somebody asks for money, oh, I'm not going there no more. They want you to pass the plate too many times, or either they might feel like they can't, they, you know, oh, I can't go into church. I mean, because did you do any research on me before you came on the podcast?
I did not, my brother.
Okay, so you don't know nothing about my past?
No.
Okay, all right. I got a colorful past.
I did a lot of
I guess you could call it sinful things.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm living different now. I often wonder like how would God look down on me, you know, for some of the things I did in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they say mm-hmm. that God is a forgiving God. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. I don't really know. I don't know too much about
right.
church and all that stuff like that. I don't really know too much about it. I probably could count on two hands how many times I've been to church.
Mm-hmm.
But I know what I feel in my heart. I'm a good person.
There it is.
And I was raised good. Things I did in the street, they don't reflect on my parents any kind of way. It was I made my own decisions.
Right.
But I do have thoughts sometimes about like the afterlife. How do God feel about certain people who did certain things?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I often wonder. So, what would you say to that about somebody who probably did a lot of things in their past and committed a lot of sins and stuff like that?
This is what I would say, and I'll give scripture, and then I'll move from scripture. All right.
Okay.
And I tell you, I believe the word of God. And you know what? I believe the Bible and what the Bible says, not because I was raised in the Bible, was, you know, reading the Bible and it was, you know, placed in me by my father. But I believe the Bible and what it says because it has accomplished and I've seen it evident and fruitful in my life. So what to your question, I would say this first of all. The Bible says that if you confess your sins, okay, if you confess your sins, in other words, if you open up your mouth and you confess your sins to God, that he is faithful and he is just to forgive us of all of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That means that when you confess it, God forgives. And one thing about God that is different than what man will do is that God, when he forgives you, he will take your sins. And the Bible talks about your sins being cast into a sea of forgetfulness. God forgives. People remember. All right? God doesn't live to bring your past into your present. Okay, because your past is your past. Your present is your present, and your future is what's ahead of you. So when we talk about judgment and the afterlife, listen, God is a forgiving God, okay? And God knows the things that we're going to do in terms of sin before we even commit them. Because when we talk about that, then we talk about what's called the omniscience of God, meaning that God is all-knowing. And so listen, if we are his masterpiece and if we believe that we've been created with him, by him, all right, why would he not know what we would do before we do it? God knows the sins we're going to commit before we even commit them. He already knew what we were going to do before we ever got to that place. But I would say to you, brother, he's a forgiving God. He's a forgiving God, and he practices in a love that's called the agape love. And the agape love is an unconditional love. It's a love, it's a non-judgmental love, all right? It's a love that loves beyond your fault. And so it's very simple. You open up your mouth, you tell God about it, and you are sorry, and your conscience lets you to know that what you did in that past is wrong, and you confess it to God, God cast that thing into a sea of forgetfulness. Listen, I've done some things in my life that I am not proud of, and that's another thing I want the callers and people to understand about pastors. Pastors are human beings, okay, and nobody is without sin. But I've done some things I've not been proud of. But I'm proud to say now that they are behind me, that God has cast them into the sea of forgetfulness. And so, therefore, when people try to bring them up, all right, you can't hold my past over me and my present or my future. All right? So that's what I would say to that. I don't know if I said enough, but that's my feeling on it, my brother. Let me say this. There are many people that go to the church building every Sunday. There are many people that sing in choirs. There are many people that serve in various ministries of their local churches. There are even, I'm going to go even further, pastors and preachers that are in the pulpit, and some of them, my brother, are going to bust hell wide open because they have been steeped in religion and they've been void of a relationship, and there's a difference.
Wow.
You don't have to be saved or know God to be religious. Religious deals with ritual. Relationship means that I'm connected with him and I know him and that he knows me. So guess what? There are people that I'm reaching through my Sunday morning worship experiences that may never come to our physical worship in-person experience. They may sit at home and be inspired by the word of God, and some of them are going to make heaven before those who went to the building every Sunday carrying a Bible and going through the religious form and fashion, but they did not know God.
Wow. That's, you said a lot right there. That touched me.
You know what? It's one thing to know of God, right? But it's another thing to know God. Okay? There's a difference. See, there are a lot of people who know of me. And because they know of me, they think they know me. But you don't know me if you've never talked to me. You may know of me. You may know what you've heard about me. But until you have an experience and an encounter with me for yourself, you don't know me. I'm a firm believer that there's a difference between getting your information, and I'm going to say this the way I want to say it, there's a difference between getting your information from the horse's mouth versus the donkey's ass. There's a difference.
You said a lot because, you know, before I did this, tell you everything that people was, like you just said, were telling me before you came out here. Oh, he did this, and he did that, and he is this, and he did that, and he is this, and he is that. Oh, man.
Right.
But I don't go by that. I go by when I talk to somebody. That's, you know what I mean? And how I feel.
Right.
How the energy is.
Right.
And,
Let me stop real quick.
Hold on 1 minute. I don't want to cut you off. But
Go ahead.
It was so much stuff being said to me that I was getting dizzy.
Right.
You know what I mean? But look, I got some callers on the line. I still got a couple of more questions to ask you, but
listen, I'm here, I'm here to the 10 o'clock hour.
Let me get this out. This episode of the Keeping It Real with Jay Sean podcast is sponsored by the Smoke and Crab Shack, 301 Main Street, Paterson, New Jersey, the Center City Mall, Level U, some of the best seafood around. So go on down to 301 Main Street, Paterson, New Jersey, to the Smoke Crab Shack and restaurant and get yourself some seafood. Hey, Pastor, we gonna take a quick break. Quick music break, and we're gonna come back.
My brother.
The people that's on the line, I see you on the line. Bear with us, please. After this break, I'll come back and I'll go back to the phone line. I got a couple of more questions for the pastor. Then I want him to let everybody know
about his ministry and where you can reach him. And his son is on the line. I want y'all to support his son. I want him to tell us about the funeral home. You know what I mean? We trying to fit all this in. It's been a wow. My head is like it's going like, because everybody know, I don't even know, like, my podcast used to be all over the place, Pastor. Like, we used to be talking about sex and cheaters and whoremongers and everything, and you know what I mean? And then it just took a whole 360 spin. And I guess where I'm at right now is where I'm supposed to be. You know what I mean? I don't know, but something is happening to me. I really don't know what it is. People
yeah, but you know what, unbeknownst to you, and I know we getting ready to take a quick music thing, but unbeknownst to you, when you just told me some of the topics that you covered before, guess what? Those are topics that the church should be covering. Those are topics that the church should be covering.
Exactly. We gonna
and we don't cover and we don't cover this.
Say it. That's right. We gonna
let's take
about
our music break
more too.
You'll get me off into another tangent.
We're going to talk about the church some more, too, because we just going to talk about it. That's all. We'll be right back. We'll be right back after this with Pastor LaGar on the Keeping It Real with Jay Sean online podcast.
Yep. They don't know your story.
You don't know my story. You don't know
you
so,
don't know the things that I've come.
You cannot imagine.
The pain, the trial.
You don't know my
story. You don't know the things
I'm at my lowest.
You cannot imagine. But God has been
faithful.
He promised.
He would never
leave. My story. Deliverance. You don't know.
My story.
It would blow your mind.
You don't know
my story. The anguish and the guilt that consume me. Grateful I can tell it. For no more shall the shadow condemn me. You don't know my story.
Just don't.
For if you did, you would lift up your hand. So just let me tell you. Faith you may as well break out and change.
Hi, Daddy.
My story.
It's my deliverance.
And
what I want to share is my testimony.
You don't know.
Need to know
my
story.
It would blow your mind.
Can I get a witness?
You don't know.
Thank you.
You think you know, but let me tell it. God, thank you for your mercy.
God,
you love me. Life and favor.
Life and favor.
Oh, how wonderful.
Oh, how wonderful.
God, if I can go away.
Right there. Put some music.
You don't know my story.
That's it.
Really, really. Let's go to the phone lines, Pastor.
Mm-hmm.
1-1-4-2-3, you live. Going once. Hello? All right, let's go to somebody else.
Okay.
5885, you live.
Hello. Let me turn on this.
Hello.
Hey, how are you? Hi, how are you?
How you doing?
Oh, I thank God. To the pastor, you are excellent. I just wanted to continue telling you, keep on preaching. Keep on preaching. Keep on preaching. Yes, keep on preaching. I like what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
Keep on preaching.
Are you from Patterson?
I live in Hoboken, born and raised. Still here.
Okay, you live in Hoboken, born and raised. All right, okay. Listen. Listen, let me encourage you. Jump on one Sunday morning and watch our live stream worship. But you keep praying for me, all right, that God will just continue to use me in the way that he's using me.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you tonight.
God bless you, too. Thank you.
Right. Thank you for calling.
You're welcome. I'm a listener.
You got any confessions you want to make?
Oh, you better stop playing. I don't got no confession.
That's my friend.
That's my friend, Pastor. I'm just messing with her. wait 1 second. 9902, you live.
You got the sun back on again.
Oh yeah.
Go ahead. Okay.
Mm-hmm. This is the same number?
Yep.
Then you got him again. All right.
Oh, okay.
So,
all right. It must have came back up. Well, right. I mean, since you back again, tell everybody how they could reach you or listen to you or give them all your social stuff, media stuff.
I'm Frederick H. Lagarde III. So on Facebook, I'm Frederick H. Lagarde III. Instagram, it's Lagarde, my last name, my first initial F, and then the number 3. And I also have a YouTube channel where I just drop certain things on there, and it's just my name, Frederick H. Lagarde III, and that's all of my social media platforms and such, and that's how you can reach me and keep up with what I'm doing also.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about what you're doing.
Well, right now I'm currently in grad school, and I also, like my dad talks about, his passion is, the funeral industry, and, he grew up wanting to be an undertaker from the jump. Well, for me, it's always been basketball, so I'm a grad assistant coach, so I'm getting my master's for free while also coaching basketball at my school. I go to Eastern University for grad school, and it's up near Philly, so I'm getting a chance to just coach, mentor young men, obviously in basketball and outside of basketball and just life. And then I just also have the YouTube channel where I just drop encouraging word videos, just talking about different Bible topics, scriptures and everything, kind of continuing what I was doing when I was on the campus at Rider for my undergraduate, my bachelor's degree and everything. So that's kind of what I'm up to. And whenever my dad needs me to help, whether it's in ministry or whether it's, with the funeral home, I'm always pretty much there when I can. He respects my time. I respect his time. And he lets me do me.
Mm-hmm. Is you putting socks on some of the people or clothes and stuff like that?
I do.
He
help,
has.
I do help dress. Yeah.
Because I heard him
it
say
doesn't
he helps
me.
You, so I was wondering how far the help go at the funeral parlor.
Yeah, no, he knows just about how to do everything. I tell you, he was really with me during the during 2020 when the pandemic was really bad in Patterson. He's really literally lived and stayed at the funeral home with me because we were just so inundated. But he's done just about a little bit of everything.
Wow. Yeah, my mother passed away in 2020 from COVID complications.
Yeah. I tell you.
That was a trying
time. Rough. Right.
Very rough. We're going to touch on that, too, in a little bit, too.
Okay,
thanks for calling. The third.
Trey.
You the third,
Trey.
Right?
We call him Trey. Trey.
Trey? Okay.
Yeah.
Trey, thanks for calling in, Trey. We got another call up here.
Let's go ahead to the next call.
0953,
you
live.
Hello? Hi.
Hey.
Hey.
How you doing?
How are you?
Okay.
I just wanted to say I am a member of the New Christian Tabernacle Faith and Action Ministries.
Pastor Donna Farrar is your
pastor. Yes.
Adonna
yes.
Farrar Warren, that's my friend. You got a great
yes.
pastor.
Yeah, I'm a member there, but, I haven't been there in a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wanted to touch on something. Well, my father and my stepmother, they always used to make us go to church and everything, and then, you know, eventually we started loving it and everything, and so, like, when I was young, maybe when I was about maybe 15 or 16 years old, this pastor that was preaching one day, he said the devil is trying to kill you, and eventually you will die, right? So, after that, a couple of months or maybe like a year after that, you know, I stopped going to church, you know, and then I started back going to church after that. Like, after I had my son, out when I was 25. But anyways, I haven't been there in a while, but what do you think about, you know, a pastor saying that to you, which it came out true, you know, not killing you, just killing your spirit, you know?
So my question is,
what do you think about that?
Okay. So let me just make sure I understand, all right? Okay, because you said it and it came out true. So when he said that over your life, like, he was not, obviously, he wasn't speaking to physical death, was he?
No, it was like a mental thing.
Okay.
Like, you know,
and some of those things came to pass?
Yeah, well, some of those things came true. I guess that meant like not coming to church or like, cause you know, like, I always have God always been in my heart, you know.
Mm-hmm.
God knows your heart always. God
right.
always knows
right.
my heart, you know. So.
Mm-hmm.
I was just asking, what does that mean to you, though? Like,
what I feel we as pastors, first of all, we need to be, first of all, you know, God does speak to us as ministers, you know, of the gospel, okay? And there are some things that God may say to us concerning a member or concerning someone that attends our church. But we have to be careful in the way we deliver what God may be speaking to us. There are some things, you know, and it's really all in the delivery. And I also believe that there are some things that God may have for us to say to one of our members that we don't say over the pulpit. Everything doesn't come over the pulpit in a public setting. There are times when we have to pull our members to the side and we have to share with them, listen, God is sharing this concerning you to me, but everything is not for everyone else's ears. And it's all as well in the delivery. You know, if you come from, you know, many who come from old school church, and what I mean by old school church is when you talk to some of the older Christians or older believers, they come from a time where, you know, pastors said things very forcefully. They said things in a way that would almost scare the hell out of you. You understand what I'm saying? And they tried to scare it into us. And so I just think that there are many times that God has spoken to me concerning things about my members, but I had to be very careful how I delivered it because I believe that the people receive things based on how it is given to them. And so you understand what I'm saying? Am I making sense to you?
But it wasn't like that. It wasn't like that. It was like over, you know,
It was like my future. You know what I'm saying? Like,
okay,
my
so
future.
You're asking me how do I feel about pastors you're talking about pastors. You're talking about pastors who are able to speak into your future. Is that what you're saying to me?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, I do
because,
believe in
the
prophetic gift.
I grew up in the New Christian Tabernacle.
Right.
I grew up in the New Christian Tabernacle. And
right.
And it was a different pastor. It was a visitor pastor.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It was a visitor pastor. And you know, he said the devil is trying to kill you and eventually you will die. Not in like a physical way, but all of that, but that came true. Like with that, I'm 37 years old now, and this was like when I was like I was 15, 16, 17 years old. That,
right.
And I still remember that. You know what I mean?
Well, it sounds to me like he was operating in the, you know, he's. It sounds to me because you know there are ministers and people in ministry that operate in the prophetic gift. The prophetic gift.
Yeah, so
I believe
God was talking to me, you know, through him. You know what I mean? Throughout my life.
And that's what the gift of that's what the prophetic gift is. Is God using someone to speak into you? And that's
exactly.
What it sounds like. And I believe in that. Let me just say that. I believe in that. I don't believe that all ministers operate in the prophetic gifts, but there are some that God uses in a prophetic way to speak into and to see ahead into the lives of others. So I do believe in that. And I believe that that's helpful, too.
We gotta go to another caller.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Sorry, man.
Listen, get back in church. You got a good pastor.
Right. Get back in church, young lady.
All right, let's go on to the next one.
Yeah. 3324, you live.
Yeah, how you doing?
Hey, what's
how
up?
Are you?
All right. First and foremost, I'm okay. Glory to God for you. Thank you for being here tonight. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure that your words could be a blessing to somebody, you know, on this podcast.
I appreciate you, my brother. I appreciate you. That's all
we're
trying to do.
I come from a strong background of Christianity. My great grandmother was evangelist Annie McLean. I don't know if you're familiar with her name.
Say it again.
Evangelist Annie McLean.
Evangelist McLean.
Evangelist McLean. What church was that?
Oh, man, she was all over. She went to a Father church for a little while, and she's been all over.
Okay. The name sounds very familiar to me.
Yeah, it used to ring bells in Patterson in like the 90s and 80s and 90s. She ran bells. Yeah.
Okay.
My question for you is, you know, we see a lot going on in the world today. A lot more. Like, when people say, oh, it's the last days or it's the last days, you really didn't see it back then. But now... You really see it now.
Right.
And, you know, I watch TV Jakes. I watch all the other ministers. You know, I catch on YouTube and things like that. But in my heart, Pastor, I feel right now, in these days and times, the book of Revelation should be preached a lot more. Do you feel that a lot of pastors are afraid to preach Revelation because and then scare people away?
Well, let me say this. Yes, I do. Now, the book of Revelation, my brother, is just what you call, what it is called. Just what it's called is what it is. It's the book of Revelation. And let me tell you something. Revelation brings illumination, right? And illumination allows us to see things. And that's what we need to be able to say concerning the word of God. The book of Revelation, listen, now more than ever, like you just said, you know, people used to preach years ago, you know, we're living in the last days, and then we lived another 10 years. We're living in the last day. We lived another 10 years, right?
Yeah, right.
Really, when we now look at that book of Revelation, which is a deep book, and I tell people, when you start going into that book of Revelation, you better get yourself a version of the Bible that you can understand, because I tell you, it's deep. But we really see everything almost that's in that book being fulfilled, from false prophecies to earthquakes to war. We see everything being fulfilled. And pastors, I believe, are afraid to some degree to tap Revelation, because Revelation is a very deep, and it can be a scary chapter of the Bible to touch, but it's needed. It's needed, because when we look in that book of Revelation, we can see even in certain portions of that book how Jesus takes the time to write very clear and concise messages to the churches, various churches that were going through different spiritual shortfalls. And if we read, you know what, there's some things that we can take to improve our churches on today. But, you know, unfortunately, my brother, we in a time where, you know, we still got a lot of pastors and preachers that are preaching this whole prosperity message. And I'm a firm believer we need to get away from that prosperity message and all of that, you know, entertaining messages. And people have to have a really basic word today that heaven is real and so is hell, and that we have to equip ourselves with what we need, you know what, to make it to heaven. But before we make it to heaven, to be successful in this life that we live in. But I'm right on point with you. That Bible and book of Revelation needs to be preached more. But unfortunately today, many pastors are preaching to keep members rather than to empower them.
Right. Okay, cool. I have one more question for you, real quick.
Sure.
A lot of people, you know, believe that, you know, God is a forgiving God. And I do believe God is a forgiving God. But I also believe deep inside my soul that it's not just that easy for him to forgive you. You know what I'm trying to say?
I know exactly what you're trying to say.
We could be married to or have a girlfriend and be so loyal to them, you know, but not be loyal to God. You know, and you ask for forgiveness, and your ex-girlfriend may not forgive you. Your ex-boyfriend may not forgive you. But God will. But it's, I don't feel that it's as easy as anybody thinks.
No, I know exactly what you're saying. Many people, when we talk about the forgiveness of God, a lot of times we think, well, we do this, oh, God forgive me, and whatever, and flip it off like that. Is that what you're saying, my brother? Because I don't want to, you know.
Yes, sir.
That what you're saying?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, but you're absolutely right. And see, when you're dealing with God's forgiveness, we gotta also remember that He's a forgiving God and He's also a gracious God, right? But we can't frustrate or abuse His forgiveness or His grace, right?
Thinking that
we can do this, and He gonna forgive us and be great. You can really frustrate God's grace. You can get to a point of frustrating the grace of God. So we can never take that grace and we can never take that forgiveness lightly and in terms of, well, he forgave me and I'm just going to go do it again and he'll forgive me again. No. You got to really be making an effort when God forgives to not do that thing that he's forgiven you of again. But you're absolutely right, my brother.
Okay. Thank you for your time,
all right,
Pastor. And
God
bless you, man. You too.
Thank you, man.
All right. Pastor.
Yes, sir.
That's my graphic designer and my program director.
All right, listen, he's a talented graphic designer. He made that flyer?
Yes.
All right. He made me look good.
So, I asked you earlier, did you know anything about me? But you said no. But I'm an author, a movie writer, a podcaster. I'm an author of seven books. But I wrote his life story. He was born with muscular dystrophy.
Wow.
He's been in a wheelchair since he was 12. He got a trach in his throat. That's why his voice sound like that. And his book is called The Andre Williams Story. It's really a compelling story. But me and him talked a lot about the show tonight. And he was very eager to speak with you.
Right.
Because you know some
and
some
you know what it
really,
isn't and,
like,
and
like
I'm encouraged
lady.
By that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like
ahead.
The other lady. Some people really, you see the other lady that just called in, she said that was hindering her since she was like 16.
Right.
About what the other preacher said to her. So it's a lot of people who, really have questions in the world, just like me.
Right.
And I feel like sometimes like with pastors being in churches and all that, sometimes they don't always reach everybody.
Right.
I mean,
you know,
you
got some churches that people are going to, my brother, that they can't even get nowhere near or even touch their pastor. And what I mean by that is churches that you can't even communicate with your pastor. You can't get to your pastor.
That's what I'm talking about. Yes.
You know, and they've been shut down by church. You know, I tell you, we got people, and I've talked to so many people who, you know, just have been shut down by church. You can't ask questions. You can't tackle certain issues. There are so many issues that need to be tackled in the church that just aren't touched. They're never touched. That's why I told you. Some of the things you were talking about, your podcast was all over the place here and there. But you literally were covering things that need to be covered and the church should be speaking to.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So
that's true.
Brother, your graphic designer, you know, I would love to read his story. But I just got to say this. What an example, you know, of having challenges, right? But still not letting challenges define who he is. And, you know, it just takes me to some people in the church, how, you know, many of us have full use of our limbs and things. We're not suffering with anything, but we'll make every excuse for not serving, for not helping somebody else, for not trying to bring somebody else along the way. You got a brother right here who's not allowing his situation to define who he is. And he's still making positive contributions.
Right.
You know, I tell you, it's just a lot of hypocrisy in the church, or as some people would call it, the body of Christ.
And you know what? Like, speak for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of people out here that really want to go to church.
Right.
It is. Like me.
Right.
If you knew how many times that I said I'm gonna call my son and go to church, because I got eight kids, four daughters, four sons. But one of my sons is like You might know him. I don't even. You know Jay Sean Jackson?
I know Jay Sean. Jay Sean loves church. He's a shouter. He loves church.
That's my son.
A lot of times
I want to call him, you know, and say, like, I want to go to church with you, because he's the only one I really know that goes
right.
a lot. And but then it's something that holds you back.
Mm-hmm.
And what holds you back is what we speaked about earlier, the fear
right.
of being judged, the fear
right.
of being looked at,
right?
How you living, or what you did in the past. And that really
right.
stops a lot of people. But from the way you talk, see, it need to be more pastors like you.
Listen, I really want to help some people tonight. I really, really do. And I tell you, if we don't get anything else out of this podcast tonight, I hope that we get that, listen, we got to tear down these stereotypes, and people need to be able to come to the house of the Lord. Let me tell you something. You tapped on something, my brother, before you went to that second music break. And you were talking about how people were saying this about this and about me and that about me. But let me say this.
Oh, yeah.
You know what?
They made me dizzy. They made me dizzy.
Right. But you know what? Guess what? Here's the thing. Listen, all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And to me, you know, I listen, I'm not afraid of anything or anybody. And I always have said no one can validate me but God. But it is so sad how people can say this and that and this and that and be so concerned with putting a word on somebody else's life while their life may not be in order either. See, once we
right.
realize that all of us are out of order, let me say that again. Once we realize that all of us are out of order, from the pulpit to the door and everything in between, and that we all need to be a work in progress, until we realize that, we can't really have active dialogue. We can't really go anywhere in the church that we're supposed to be going. You know, and that's what I preach. Let me tell you something. I am not even accepted by many pastors in the Patterson community. I have a few friends, one of which is your son's pastor, because he's currently at Pastor Pamela Pettiford's church. That's my good friend. But I'm not accepted because of the word that I preach, okay, which is a word of, listen, come as you are. Come with all of your mess. Come with all of your stuff. I cannot fix it for you, but the word of God that I'm delivering will help you, all right? And that's all that our responsibility is. Our responsibility is not to judge or to give people solutions or always remedies. Ours is to love, take them to the word of God, and let the word and let the message and let the Spirit of God work on them and do the rest. I would say to anybody that has anything to say about anybody that you are and we all are works in progress, all right? And that's just the fact. You can dress it up, you can cover it, but when we uncover ourselves at the end of the day, every last one of us has an imperfection or what I like to call a limp, all right? And guess what? Many of us are still making it with our limp.
Amen.
I preached a message years ago. You can make it with your limp.
Let's take another caller, and I got to let you
sure.
tell everybody how to get in touch with you. One second.
Okay, my brother.
8-8-5-5-5, you live.
Yeah, what's up? Pastor, you've been profound in what you've been speaking on. You know, I'm honored to have watched you from a little guy grow up and see the progress that you've made. You know, I'm the one that he was talking about that lived across the street from you.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, and we spoke recently. You know, we
yes,
spoke
we
recently
did.
At my brother's home. Yeah. Yeah, but you keeping it real. You living up to the title of the show now. You keeping it real, and that's what is needed at this point where we at. It needs for people to be real, and
that's
especially
right.
pastors, because at one point the church was the beating heart of our community. It was the beating heart. Everything.
Yeah.
Went from the church.
Yeah.
Now, as Jay said, people are, you know, turned away from the church. They shying away. The street
yeah.
and the sin has people now. You know,
mm-hmm.
they because they're being ran out. And I like what you used, you know, when you say it's like a hospital. People are sick. They need help. They need treatment. They're coming for treatment, you know, and
yeah.
they're coming for the treatment, and they're being turned away.
That's
you know?
Right.
And I've really enjoyed the show tonight. I just wanted to, you know, speak and let you know how much I enjoy listening to you and, you know, keep up the good work, and you're in my prayers, and I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. Love you, my brother. I appreciate you.
All right. Love you too, my brother.
All right.
You know who that is, right?
I know that voice. He got to tell. It was a lot of them that lived across that street there.
That's
yeah.
Andre. That's Shadi.
That's Andre. Right, right. I just saw Red at a funeral about three weeks ago. I saw Red. I know all of them that were in there.
Yeah. That's my
yeah.
best friend of 9 years since 9 years old.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, thanks for calling in, Sha. On Wednesday nights for everybody that's listening at 7 o'clock, the same phone number. It's called Let's Talk About It. Look, we the time is flying, but look, Pastor.
Yes, sir.
I'm trying to think about everything before I let you know. Tell everybody how they can listen to your sermons and what else you got going on in Pat. Anything you want to tell everybody?
Okay. All right. Well, look. Every Sunday we've just gone back to our full worship schedule. You know, we were only worshiping in person. During the pandemic, you know, limited. But we're back to our full service schedule. So we're worshiping every Sunday at 10 a.m. I call it an hour of power because I also don't believe that church needs to take all day. I believe that a lot of things need to be extracted and the word has to be put at the forefront. So it's an hour of power, 10 to 11. If you want to join us in person, you know, we do not have our building on Broadway anymore. And let me just speak to that because so many people have so much to say about that. We did not lose our building on Broadway, okay? We made a conscious decision as a church that was not as large as it once was to sell our building because we believe in being good stewards. And there, we don't believe in keeping something to take care of that we can't afford to. So we downsize. So in the meantime, while we believe that God is going to give us another building, we are worshiping Sunday mornings in person from 10 to 11 a.m. at 236 Ellison Street in the city of Patterson, which also is the funeral home. All right? Listen, doesn't matter that it's in the funeral home because the church is the people. So wherever the people are, we can have church. So we worship there in the chapel, 10 to 11 a.m. on the Sunday morning. Those who cannot join us in person, I'm live streaming on Facebook every Sunday from 10 to 11. So occasionally the time will deviate, and you can always get updates on my Facebook page, or you can go to the Community Baptist Church of Love Facebook page, where we always have updates. But we're every Sunday morning. I really don't do the Instagram too much at all. I'm a Facebooker, so you can get all of the information on my page on Facebook, which is Frederick H. Lagarde, or our Community Baptist Church of Love page, all right? My number is public knowledge, okay, because I'm a public servant through ministry and through the funeral home, so anyone can reach me, all right, 201-800-5056. I do not answer private or unidentified calls. If you're calling me, please don't call me from unidentified or blocked numbers. But those are the ways that they can reach me. And real quick, because then I'm going to finish everything I have to say and give it back to you, Brother Randy, let me just say this real quick. I want to shout out Smoking Crab. I heard that they were your sponsors, Brother Andre McCullum. Listen, I know that brother. I want you to support them. They're doing great things with that restaurant. I have eaten there. I fully endorse them, all right? Fully endorse them. And I just want to say this real quick. When we were talking just a little while ago about pastors and how we think that they have about luxury items and things like that, I want the people to know that the Lagardes, okay, all right, anything that the Lagarde family has, we worked to get it. We never got anything that we got from our church, okay? My mother had a career all of her life. I've had a career all of my life. I currently don't receive a salary from my church. I haven't had a salary from my church in over 12 years. I don't receive a salary. So anything that I drive, anything that I live in, it's in my name. The church doesn't pay for it, and I work every day to get it. I can't say that about all pastors, but I can say that about this pastor here. But listen, join us on Sunday mornings, Facebook, or you're welcome to visit us in person. I guarantee you that we are a small church, but we really do believe that everybody is somebody, and we do believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. We're not trying to fake it to make it. We're just trying to do the best we can, and that God will be pleased with us. That's pretty much all I had to say, Brother Randy.
I mean, I guess you said it all. Trying to see if I missed anything.
I would love to come back on at some point because I know we tapped on the funeral home. Listen, that could be a whole nother thing. It could be a whole nother thing because so many of our people are not empowered and not planning properly for death, which is a part of life. And I would love to see our African American community be empowered.
Yeah, we didn't get. We gotta promote. It's 10 o'clock, so a lot of people that's on the people that's on the phone. No, hold on. I want to say one thing.
I can answer a few more questions if you want.
Okay, look.
You tell me what you want.
We might lose a couple of people, but we're not gonna lose everybody. But I also want you to promote your funeral parlor. But I wanted to say a couple of things too.
Sure.
I touched on them earlier, but I want to touch on them again. Like I said, I was strolling through Facebook weeks ago, and you know I just happened to stroll across your live, and you know, I stopped and I didn't know anything about you. I know the name Lagarde because I know your father from my father.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like I said, I just listened, and you know what they say, like with social internet, like if something don't grab your attention, like immediately you just keep going. But I can't remember what you were saying, but it caught my attention. So I was listening, and I said, right after that, I said, well, I'm going to reach out to him. Even though I didn't know why, and I'm not going to lie, I was a little nervous about doing it because I didn't know if he was going to feel disrespected or whatever. So I sent you the message, and you responded back to me, and that made me feel good. And I felt like it was something from, like, God, because, like, when your life been all over the place, times you want, like, you want to hear something good, but not just from a friend of your peers. You want to hear something from, I would say, like, I call you like a higher power right now, like a pastor or, you know, maybe even a deacon, maybe even somebody who's a devout Christian. You want to hear something, because sometimes you want to hear something different and it make you feel good. So anyway, listening to you talk, it made me feel good because it was something different. Even though I'm not a churchgoer, you know, and I might be considered by some like, oh, a sinner or whatever. It felt good that you, no, it felt good that you responded and said that you would come on the podcast. I really feel like honored. And I feel like this was a good thing, not only for me, and not only for you, but for, you know, for the listeners, because what's good about this podcast is people could come on tomorrow and listen to it. All they got to do is click on the link. So for everybody who missed it, they can hear it tomorrow, next week, next month. All they got to do is click on the link. And like you said, we could always bring you back.
Yeah.
It's just that for me, it feel like this whole thing was, like, you know, like they say, meant to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or, like, you know, like, that's God's work. Or so I don't know how, if that sounds strange, but.
No, you
like,
right.
For
you
me
know
to have a pastor.
Yeah. Right.
For me to have a pastor on this show, I know people is, like, beyond they self. Because this show has been all over the place, and for the last couple of weeks, it's just been changing. Had a domestic violence survivor. We talked about the murder in Mexico, and I just think that God is moving it, and with you coming out here, it's like almost like the icing on the cake. And that, I just want to let you know that's a good thing. I appreciate you coming out here. I hope I didn't really miss anything because, like, you touched on a little bit. People was hitting me with so much, excuse my language, so much shit. Tells me, you know what I mean? This. Oh, you said that about, like, he lost the church. He did this. He did that. And ask him this, and ask him that, and this and that, and this and that. I said, oh, my God.
Right. And you
let
know
me,
what?
Let me get
you
this guy
what?
On the show.
Go ahead. Right.
And, because they listening right now. I don't know if we addressed
right.
all
I,
everything
I know
they, that
they
wanted to hear.
I know they are. I know they are. Listen, I know they
you
are.
Know,
and what I
they
want to
listening.
Say is, yeah, and what I want to say is this, as we get ready to conclude, you know what, ask him this and ask him that. Listen, why don't you ask me yourself? Because some of you that are watching see me on a regular basis, and I know for a fact that you're asking questions through even my members. Listen, one of my members is Valerie Friedman, Big V, who just was the highest vote getter for the Board of Education election. That's my trustee. All right? And so, listen, you don't have to ask him to ask. You can ask for yourself. And this Lagard here stands tall, stands alone, and can answer just about anything. But as you want me to answer questions, I always tell people, be prepared to answer some that I might have for you. That's why we deal with our own stuff. And if you don't hear it from the horse's mouth, right, then you've gotten it from the donkey's behind. And when you don't have the true knowledge of something, right, when you don't have a true knowledge or understanding of something, that makes you an ignorant person because you're going off of information that's incorrect. And anybody that can move off of incorrect information and have a lack to try to learn or find out the information for themselves is ignorant. And it's just barely that simple. And see, that's how I preach. And there are many people that I walk past on a regular basis that would love to ask me a bunch of questions, but just won't do it. You could ask me. You don't have to ask on Brother Randy to ask me, although he can. You can ask me yourself. So that's what I say to that. I'm not everybody's cup of tea, but God has given me those and connected those to me that are meant for me to be connected to. And I do believe, Brother Randy, this was ordained of God. You know, I was talking, my son is talking to me on the side as I'm talking to you. And one of the things I said to him a minute ago while we were on that break, and he was, you know, telling me, Dad, you're doing very well. He's proud of me. And I said, this is a God-ordained moment. So what you just said, we're in an agreement. This is a God-ordained moment. I had never spoken to you on anything.
No.
But this is a God-ordained moment. And I think it was meant to be. I think somebody, people are going to be reached by this podcast. And there are going to be some people that minds may be changed and, you know, may come to God through what you have done and what you've allowed to be done today and really what God has done.
That's true. And so, with that being said, everybody, and like I said, the good thing about this, Pastor, was I didn't know nothing about you. And you didn't know nothing about me.
No.
But I mean, now that we're at the end, I can tell you that I used to be a pimp. I'm an ex. I tell you at the
All
end
right.
now, but a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Long, long time ago, and I changed my life around.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I often wonder if I could ever be forgiven for that. That's what I was touching on earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I'm telling you can. I'm telling you that you can, and that I'm telling you that you have. I'm telling you can, and that you have. And again, I just want to reinforce this. We confess our sins. He's faithful and he's just to forgive us of our sins. And that is the word of God. And all of us are living today because of the forgiving nature of God and because of his love and his grace and his mercy. You know what? Let me tell you something. Grace gives us what we don't deserve. Mercy keeps us from getting what we do deserve. And so all of us are examples of God's grace, of God's mercy, and of God's love and of his forgiveness, including me.
Amen. So tell everybody, what's your Cash App? You know what I mean? I know people always talk about money, but you never know. I mean, like, just tell everybody just in case.
My Cash App is $Frederick, F-R-E-D-E-R-I-C-K, Lagard, L-A, Garde. All right, $ Frederick, not Frederick, Frederick Lagarde. That's my Cash App.
And if anybody doesn't know it, they can reach out to me and I'll give it to them.
Right. And one thing I will say, you've heard my lies. I'm not a money begging preacher. I just want people's souls to be saved and people to be encouraged. That's all that I want. God takes very good care of me.
That's good. Next week. I'm gonna get your information on your funeral home, because this month I picked 4 black businesses that I'll use to sponsor, and because my show is heard by so many people, and I'm gonna promote your But look, before I let you go, my sister is having a surgery tomorrow. She's on the line. I don't know if she dozed off. She might have dozed off because she got to have surgery. 4785, you hear? 4785? She probably dozed off.
Can we pray for her?
Yeah, that's what I wanted. But she probably dozed off, but still.
That's all right. We can still pray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she having a surgery tomorrow. Within praying for her, I just wanted to say I want to say one more thing before you say that. And for all the listeners, for everybody that was, you know, telling me good things and telling me bad things, and I know you're on the line and I see your phone numbers, I hope that you got a better perception of Pastor Lagarde. I hope we touched on everything that you wanted to. And if we didn't, I mean, like he said, you had your chance to press 1. All you got to do is press 1, and we could have addressed it.
Right.
But from this moment on, you are a friend to the show. You know, and you could come out here anytime you want. And I'm letting you know I'm gonna be supporting you. I'm gonna be coming on your lives on Sunday. And one day I might come to something in person if I finally get the nerve, because it's a lot of things that I'm going through mentally too, and it's a lot of things that you touched on tonight that really touched me, and probably help me tomorrow. And the day after that, and the day after that, and the day after that. I really feel like this is a God moment. And I'm really happy for this show tonight, for real. I am. I know tomorrow people gonna be asking me, oh, why you didn't ask him this, and why you didn't ask him that, and why you didn't ask him this, and whatever. And you write on the line, so all you gotta do is press 1 if you wanna ask him something. But as far as I'm concerned, we talked about everything.
Uh-huh.
We gave you a clear understanding on he gave me a clear understanding, so I know he gave other people a clear understanding. And we got another. You want to take one more caller?
You can, sure.
All right, this is the last caller for the night. Hello?
Yeah, hi, Jay Sean. The thorn in the butt. This is Solution.
Hey, Mr. Solution, how you doing?
I'm doing quite well. Thank you for asking. I have a quick question to the pastor, and it's this. Given how relationships are in the toilet in the U.S., have you set up a singles ministry where you encourage and inform both men and women how to meet each other and how to at least start a basic conversation leading to a potential relationship? In other words, have you seen God as the primary or the first matchmaker who saw it as a priority to bring the man and the woman together and to really help them facilitate a healthy relationship. Are you into doing that?
Okay. So I don't have – first of all, let me say yes, I am. And whenever I have done any type of marriage counseling or before I have performed any ceremonies, you know, we go through counseling because it is very important. I'm a firm believer that if God has not been in the mix of joining the two together, that it's not going to work. I do firmly believe in singles ministries in the church. I do not have one, my brother, because I have a very small congregation right now, and I really have a middle-aged to older congregation, and I don't really have too many single people. However, I'm an advocate. If I had that that in my church, category in my church, I would definitely be for it. I do know another pastor who does work with that in his church, but I'm an advocate, and I do believe that God has to be at the forefront of a relationship and that we have to seek God concerning our mates before we ever make them our mates. So, yes, I am on point with you, and I do firmly believe that single ministries are necessary, especially where you have a high concentration of singles that are in the church. I do. Yes, sir.
Very good. And I would just say that there are more single people as of, I believe this has been the case for about 15, 20 years. There are more singles than married people. Mm-hmm. So single people can't get together. They don't know how. Women have been taught to be, quote unquote, artificially unavailable, and therefore they don't make themselves available like Ruth did to Boaz. You're familiar with Ruth, chapter 3. Verses, 1 through 10, roughly, where she made her definitive, and I do emphasize definitive intentions known. She wanted a relationship. So I'm fine with what you said, but I'm also saying the way God is in it is, first of all, it's a natural thing. God gave marriage to mankind. And so God is in it when the people prepare themselves to be in it also. So I think that's a good point, and I think that has to be constantly addressed because you have all these single people in America today that are adrift. I mean, a lot of people are dying, you know, single, and it's quite unnecessary. A lot of men now, just to make this point, are leaving America and going to other countries to find women that are more friendly, fit, and feminine. And so I think there's some definite work that needs to be done in that area. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lucy.
You're welcome.
Hello?
Everybody,
you're
welcome,
here,
my brother.
Oh, okay.
He said you're welcome.
I lost everybody. All right, we about to close out with that. It's long enough. I want you to close out with a prayer, and because you know my sister having a surgery tomorrow. And
what's your sister's
some of
name?
My sins that I committed in the past.
Okay. What's your sister's name?
Lisa Williams Jackson.
All right. We ready to pray? Can I pray?
Yes.
All right. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, first of all, for this day that's just about to close. We thank you that today was a day that you made and we have rejoiced and we are glad in it. God, I thank you for these last 2 hours together with Brother Randy for this platform that you have given him. God, I thank you for the issues that were touched tonight, for the things that we've been able to discuss openly and honestly, God. God, I believe that somebody has been encouraged by this platform, by this podcast, by this vision you have given Brother Randy on tonight. Father, as we close on tonight, Father, I'm just praying for him, that you would continue to strengthen him and encourage him, and that, God, that you would let him know that this is a ministry that he's doing, and that, God, you would continue to enlarge his connections, to expand his territory, to expand and stretch his reachability, and, God, to let him know that there is greater even for what you have already started in him. Father, I pray for his sister Lisa tonight as she prepares for a surgery in the morning. Father, we know that you ordain and you give knowledge to physicians, but we understand that you are the chief physician. So as the surgery occurs, God, we pray that you will get in the hands and in the minds of those doctors who will operate, and that the surgery would be successful. God, we pray now that she is covered from the top of her head to the sole of her feet. Then, God, bless all the listeners today, those who had something to say, those who wanted to say something but couldn't say it, those who will listen to this podcast even after we leave here tonight. Father, we ask that you would bless them, bless their families and their homes. And, God, just cause us all to remember and continue to remember that we are all works in progress going through a process. Now, God, we thank you tonight, and we give your name the glory and honor, and thank you for what you have done. And, God, may this not be the last time that me and Brother Randy connect, and, God, may this not be the last time that I am on this podcast. God, we thank you for divine connections and the fact that you do all things well. And then, Satan, we must speak to you. We must let you know that you did not get the victory on tonight, and you don't have the victory in our lives in any day, any minute, any hour of our lives. And so we just plead the blood against you. And God, we thank you again, and we give your name glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. With that being said, what time Sunday, Pastor?
Ten a.m. to 11 a.m. 1 hour of power.
One hour of power. I'll definitely be there. I'll definitely be there. You have you're a friend to the show. You could come back anytime you want. I hope you come back when I need you to come back, because this really been a great show.
My brother, I promise you call me and I'll be there.
I probably cried about 4 times behind the scene already, and it's really been deep. And I hope everybody enjoyed it. I know tomorrow I'm going to be bombarded with texts of why I didn't say this and why I didn't say that and he said this. But I know in my heart that those are the that's some negativity and devil sent, I guess.
Listen, God has been lifted tonight, and the enemies are being scattered. And so that's it. We going forward.
My program director, my man Dre, that spoke to you in a wheelchair, he said, "Nigga, wrap it up."
Yeah. But listen, I'm accessible to you. I thank you. I am highly honored and I'm appreciative, my brother.
Right. And with that being said, I'll reach out. I'll be in touch with you. You know, I'm gonna hit you in the inbox.
Okay.
All right. All right. Thank you very much.
All right. God bless. Bye bye.
All right, peace.
There's something about the next.
Something, yeah.
Something about the next.
Something about the next. It's the sweetest name.
Yeah.
Sweetest name I know.
And I love that name.
Oh, how I love that name.
Oh, how I love that name.
It's the sweetest name,
yeah.
That's
just take a minute and explain to him what you really trying to say. What you really trying to say.
Some people say I'm crazy, but
I can't explain.
How is it a feel
when you call his name?
When I call your name,
that's hot. It's just like fire. Where's it?
Adam in my bones.
Holy Ghost,
when the Holy Ghost gets the movement, that he won't leave me alone.
Listen. Last night,
Me and my wife were up to midnight with our three-year-old. Had to take him to the emergency room because he had walking pneumonia. And she, you know, you take health for granted until it's your health. Just like we take food for granted until we run out of food. Just like we take our spouses for granted until we walk by the casket and all we can do is wish that we could do things different. Just like children take their parents for granted. But I want to let you know, even when we take God for granted, what's so amazing about God is Paul says he does not treat us as our sins deserve. So that means that even in my imperfections, God is still perfect with his grace and his mercy. That's why I don't want people getting comfortable with praising the Lord just when the Lord gives them something. See, you got to learn how to praise him because of who he is. When you praise him for who he is, you don't have to wait till the trouble comes to learn how to praise him. I want every blood-washed believer that has fallen in love with Jesus. I'm not talking about you having a affair with Jesus, but I'm talking about you love him, you love him, you love him, not because of what he's done, but because of who he is. Everybody, we're going to sing this chorus together. And even if you can't sing, even if you don't know the words, you can give God an oath. And that oath can mean to you whatever that oath needs to mean to you. Can we sing it right there? Can we sing that chorus right there? Everybody.
Oh, no.